Can we turn in our Bibles to the prophecy of Daniel, please? And we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. I don't think we can read it all for sake of time, but we'll do our best and see how far we can get down in the chapter. Daniel chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. The heaven is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher, an unholy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. We'll end our reading there. It would be better if we could have read the rest, but not take the time to do so. But we'll be looking at it as we go along. But let's just unite, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee afresh, and we rejoice in thy word. We thank thee for this testimony that we have before us today. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst use the testimony that is given here in thy word, and Lord, that thou wouldst cause it to be written upon hearts, particularly to those who are outside of Christ today. We pray that we might recognize that God reaches down to the basest and reaches down to the lowest. And our God, we thank that he can reach us as well. So bless and be with us as we gather at thy feet. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. This is a peculiar chapter of the Bible because it's an official autobiographical document prepared by the king of Babylon himself. You can see that he speaks, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was addressed, and he speaks in the first person here. And unlike the other chapters in the book of Daniel, this one was written by the king through Daniel. And in fact, you will see in the first few verses how he speaks here. It's written by Daniel, but it seems to be dictated by the king. And therefore, you will find that there's a kind of a mixture in the chapter. You have certain heathen mythological conceptions, and they're mixed up with Hebraisms and spiritual representations of God that would have been given by a prophet. There seems to be a combination of the two here. And many people think really what happened here is that the king dictated and Daniel wrote down what he said. And what you have in Daniel chapter 4 is really King Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. Here is a personal testimony. And he speaks about a most humiliating experience that takes place in his life that brings him to his senses. And it's like maybe you and I, if we had taken our personal journal or our diary and our innermost thoughts and hidden secrets were in it, and we posted that on the internet, probably that would be the equivalent today. By this time, 20-30 years had passed since the burning fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar had enjoyed a time of peace and security and prosperity. He had defeated all his enemies. He had completed several impressive building projects. The story begins at a time here when King Nebuchadnezzar was on the crest of a wave. He was the king over the greatest empire in the world in that day. He commanded mighty armies who obeyed his every word. He was the king of a famous and fabulous city. You think of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the ancient wonders of the world. His city was protected by walls, double walls, that were 15 miles long, 85 feet tall, 27 feet thick. And they were so wide in points that two chariots could ride abreast around them. And the visitors came in through the famous Ishtar gates, travelled down the main boulevard of the town towards the king's palace, full of magnificent trees and so on. And we think of the might and the power of this mighty king. But God sends this man a dream. And again, he has another dream. We read about a dream that he had in Daniel chapter 2. But this is not a dream that reveals the course of the ages. But this is a different dream. This is a personal dream. This is a dream about himself. And it was a dream about a mighty tree reaching up to heaven, full of fruit and leaves, and so very prosperous. And then we read, it says about the one that Nebuchadnezzar calls a watcher or a holy one, comes and commands the tree to be cut down. And look at verse 14, it says, he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from under his branches. And he dreams in this dream that the tree is cut down, but there is a stump left. And this stump is surrounded by a band of iron and brass that's put around it, seemingly to protect it. And then it says in verse 16, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. And it seems as if the image suddenly changes from a tree to a man, and this man becomes a beast. And it says that seven times, or 7 years, passes over him. And the king waits for an interpretation of the dream, and he seems to have forgotten what happened in Daniel chapter 2, because he sends again for all the wise men of the kingdom. And once again, like in Daniel chapter 2, they can't interpret the dream. And eventually he sends for Daniel. And Daniel has to step in to interpret the dream. And he does not get it easy to interpret the dream because the dream speaks of ill to the king. And it is something here that's going to happen to the king. The king himself is going to be cut down. And here we have the personal testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. We'll see that God will bring him to the place of repentance and to the place of humility. And you know, it's good to hear a personal testimony, particularly of the king, an ancient king of a mighty empire, a man of might and power. And yet God brought him to realize that the Most High ruleth over the kingdoms of men. Dear friend, he is still the same God today. He still rules. He still reigns. No matter how much man may think that he has conquered God or dismissed God, God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. And he's still raising up and putting down. And even though men do not recognize it, he is still on the throne. We'll see that as we go through the book of Daniel, the remarkable prophecies that God gives, and the unfolding of the ages. And men and women today, I pray that you will be as wise as Nebuchadnezzar was at the end. You know, God had to bring him down to show him what he was and what he needed to do. You know, what has God got to do with you? What has God got to do with you in order to bring you to the place where you recognize that you must bow the knee before the mighty God of heaven? So let's look at Nebuchadnezzar's testimony here. And there are a number of things about his testimony that I want you to see. First of all, look at the revelation that he received. We've described this dream that he has. He tells about the dream here, and we have described what it was. And he goes then, as we said, he speaks to the wise men, and eventually tells Daniel. But I want you to notice how Daniel reacts to the dream when he's told him. Look at verse 19. It says, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." And then you notice in verse 20, and the verses following, that Daniel gives the interpretation of the dream. But I want you to see, first of all, that though he sits astonished here and he is absolutely flabbergasted, his words are taken from him when he recognizes what this dream means for Nebuchadnezzar. But I want you to see that he doesn't cover over what it means. He gives the king the interpretation straight. Now, it takes him an hour to do it. It takes him an hour to come round and give the interpretation. But I want you to notice a few things here before we go on, just by way of start. Look at the need of the king. In order to understand the message of God, we read that Nebuchadnezzar needed a prophet. He needed a man of God. He needed a preacher to interpret the word of God to him. Now, we are not going to say that you absolutely need a preacher to interpret the word to you. That would sound like Romanism. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. And when we say a preacher, we mean anybody that speaks the gospel. That's a preacher. It doesn't mean just a person that stands in a pulpit like this. Sometimes God can, by revelation from his word, directly speak to somebody. But usually, in the course of events, there's somebody, maybe a friend, maybe a minister, maybe a missionary, maybe a children's worker or Sunday school teacher, who brings the word of God. And how often it is that we need somebody to speak. You know, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in Romans 10 and 14 it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the king here needed a preacher. He needed a prophet. He needed somebody to tell him. There were the other soothsayers and the other wise men, and they sought to give the king a soft message. But what he needed to hear was the truth. Whether it was a hard message, and in this case it was a message that was very uncomfortable for the king and something that he no doubt didn't want to hear, but he needed to hear it. And dear friend, you need a preacher. Whether you like it or not, whether you like to hear that you're a sinner, whether you like to hear that you need to get right with God and that you're under the condemnation of God, whether you like to hear those things, dear friend, you need to hear them. You need to hear the truth. Many can come and tell you a soft message and tell you that you're okay and everything is fine. But, dear friend, you need to hear what is the truth of God's precious word. We see the need of the preacher. And you need a preacher. You need somebody to tell you the truth about your soul and where you're spending eternity. And then not only do we see the need of the preacher, but the nobility of the preacher. Because while I want you to see that Daniel is giving Nebuchadnezzar what seems to be, or what is, an unpleasant message. And Daniel didn't pull any punches, as we see, but I want you to see that by the way that Daniel reacts and by the way he treats the king, that while he's given an unpleasant message, he does so with care. He does so with love. Look again at verse 19, when Daniel is told about the dream. It says, "And Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream is to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." And you can see that Daniel there has a love and concern for the king. He received the message. He's stunned for an hour. He is so concerned about the king. And he brings the message, even though it's a message of condemnation, he brings it with love. And that is a great example about the way that we deal with the world. We do not come with harshness and with condemnation. Sometimes we have to bring a message of condemnation, but we should do so with love. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." And we think of the love of Christ. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we notice the nobility of the preacher. It was a message of condemnation, but he brought it with love, with concern. But then look at the nature of the preacher. Look at verses 20 to 23. Here is the message of condemnation. Here is the interpretation. We didn't read this, so just look at verses 20 to 23. "The tree that thou sawest which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw watching and holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him." And you'll see that Daniel says to the king, the tree is cut down. It's you. It's you. And here is the message. It is a message that the king doesn't want to hear. And he speaks of the 7 times or the 7 years. So it's going to be cut down for 7 years. But I want you to notice the wee bit, the wee word, until. There is divine judgment here. And it is disciplinary as well as punitive here. After 7 years, he's going to live with the beast. He's going to lose his mind. He's going to live like a beast in the field until 7 times pass over him. And there is the message of hope. And there is the message that comes. It's a message of condemnation to lost sinners. But thank God the message is also a message of hope. If you can come to your senses, if you can come to the place where you listen to God's word, thank God there is a way of salvation for those that trust in him. And sinner in this house today, there is hope in Christ. There is hope. God could have destroyed Nebuchadnezzar there and then, but he gave him 7 years to bring him to his senses. I wonder if God is trying to bring you to your senses today. Get you to listen to him, to hear what he has to say. And we see the revelation he received. But look also at the ruin he experienced. Look at the ruin explained. Look at verses 24 and 25. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So again we see the king will lose his senses. He will live like an animal. He's going to eat grass for 7 years. And I want you to notice the reason for that is explained. Look at verse 22. O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And then look at here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's getting too big for his boots. Look at his boasting. Look at verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might and my power for the honor of my majesty? So why has he been brought down? Because he's got too big for his boots. He says, I have built this house. He speaks of my power, my honor, my majesty. And he built this magnificent kingdom. And he speaks about it and he says, I am really bigger than God. That's what he's saying. And Proverbs 29 and 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And that's what exactly is going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. God is going to bring him down. Proverbs 11 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. And this is the shame that this man is going to experience here. He's full of his own power and mind. He's full of himself. And God has to bring him down to bring him to his senses. And you notice, you see Nebuchadnezzar here. He is given the chance to repent. You'll notice that the words in verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And Daniel is saying to him, King, come to your senses. Repent of what you're doing. And he says there'll be a lengthening of your tranquility. And here is the ruin explained. He had got too big for himself. And how often it is that pride is that which keeps people back from turning to God. Pride holds us. How God has to deal with pride. Smash the pride. And how does he do it? Bring us down. Look at the ruin executed. You notice here in verse 30 and 31 that what has been said in the vision comes to pass. It says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Look at this. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. While he was saying that, while he was boasting, just then, the word of God came, King, your kingdom is over. Your pride is going to end. Now, the whole thing didn't happen to 365 days later.
wasn't till a year later. Now, the key thing was executed, but the actual outworking of it was a year later. And you can think of that year, and the king was probably saying, oh, what a lot of rubbish that was. How Daniel got it all wrong there. There's nothing about this whatsoever. But God brought his judgment upon this man in his time. And look at the ruin endured. Look at verses 30 to 33. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honour of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled unto Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. Somebody said he was the original hippie. But apparently, this is something that can happen to people. It's called lycanthropy. And it's a psychological derangement. People think that they are animals. In 1946, R.K. Harrison, a professor in the University of Toronto in Canada, spoke of a case of lycanthropy in a mental institution here in Britain. And he described how a man looked and acted like a cow. He thought he was a cow, and he lived like a cow. And he ate grass, and he slept outside. And he grew his hair long, and so on. This is the origin of the legends in Europe of the werewolf. That's what lycanthropy actually means. Feeling like a wolf, or being turning into a wolf, changed into a wolf. And here was this man, and he thought he was a cow. And he lived like a cow, and ate grass like a cow. And that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Notice, when it came, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. So, the moment came suddenly. One moment he was surveying his royal kingdom. And the next moment, he's ripping off his clothes and running down the avenue, making snorting noises and galloping on all fours. And here he is, fleeing down the grand avenue of the palace, acting like a cow. One moment he's full of self-praise. The next moment the people are laughing. Only a fool ignores the warnings of God. Nebuchadnezzar had asked Daniel for spiritual help and spiritual direction. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't hear. And you know, here he was. And he thought that he had plenty of time. He could enjoy all the fruits of his labor. But he had no time at all. You know, it's like the parable the Lord told about the rich farmer. And he thought that he was rich and increased with groves. And he would make barns and build new barns and pull down the old ones. The Lord came and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And dear friend, you need to listen to God, because sooner or later, if you reject God, God will reject you. If you turn your back upon God, God must bring to pass what he has said in his word. There is the condemnation of Almighty God. So we see the ruin he experienced. But one more thing I want you to see, and that is the repentance he rendered. Look at verse 34. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up mine eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Look at his comprehension. He says, at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. And here is the lifting up his eyes to heaven. And what is that? It's the recognition of God. Notice what he says at the the start and at the end of the chapter. It says, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. And you have that in verse 3, and you have that in verse 34. And he recognizes the place that is due to God. He looks up, and he sees the mighty God of heaven, who is able to put down and raise up. And you'll notice what he says in verse 37. He speaks of the God of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And you notice here, he speaks here. Here's a man who's now a personal relationship with the God of the Hebrews. He says of God, his works are truth. And you notice how he goes on and he praises God. So not only is there comprehension here, understand who God is, but there's conversion, because now upon the lips of this once heathen king is the praise of Almighty God. He recognizes that he's sovereign. He recognizes that his word is true. And God had broken this man and brought him down to the place where he had to recognize the God of Daniel and praise his name. God had brought him in repentance to his feet. But you look at what God had to do. God had to bring this man right to the very lowest, behaving like an animal, eating grass in the field, stark naked out there in the field, people looking after him like an animal. And there he was, the great king, used to being arrayed in all the gold and finery and eating of the finest fare that the empire could provide, eating grass in the field. God brought him down. What is God going to have to do to you before you listen to him? What is God going to have to do? Will it be death? The sickness? Death in the family? Sickness? Sorrow? Poverty? What will it take in your life before you listen to God? You know, dear friend, wouldn't it be better for you to listen now? Wouldn't it be better for you to come now and take him whom to know is life eternal? Wouldn't it be better for you to seek the Lord while he may be found? Call upon him while he is near. Here's a man. He's a great testimony. Saved from heathenism. Saved in such peculiar circumstances. And yet, thank God, the Lord saved him. You know, one day when we get to heaven, Nebuchadnezzar will be there. Heathen king as he was, all that he did, how low he was, how much he was involved in all sorts of cruelty, and said, yet he's in heaven. Will you be there? Will you be there? Will you join us around the streets of glory? May you come and find Nebuchadnezzar's Savior,